We bless your name and we give you glory. Hallelujah. And Father, I also thank you that we can do all things. We can do all things through Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just bless you right now. We bless you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for everyone's here. I pray that ears will be open to hear your word tonight, hearts open to receive, those that are here in the sanctuary and those that are watching by way of the internet. Father, I pray that their ears will be open, hearts open to receive your word, and that they will give you glory for your word and walk in obedience to your word, having great fellowship with you. And we give you the glory for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen. I want us to go to 1 John, the first chapter. Thank you, Lord. The first epistle of John. And for a little while this evening, I want to begin at verse 1 of the first chapter. And I really want to go verse by verse. You know there are more than one way to study the Word of God. One of them is verse by verse, or chapter by chapter, book by book. And then there's always subject matter. Sometimes we study the word and teach the word concerning certain subjects. So praise God. But tonight I want to begin at verse 1, and then I'm going to move down. I don't know how far I'll get tonight, but we'll go for a while. So, do you have your Bibles open?
Amen.
Amen. This is the first epistle of John. Now, John wrote 5 books in the Bible. Of course, we're very familiar with the Gospel of John. And then there's 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And then, of course, there is the book of Revelation. Praise God. So God used him, didn't he? And John was a great man of God. He went through many trials, many tribulations, but he came out on top. Glory to God. God allowed him to be able to see some things that we're actually going through right now. Amen. And let me say this, you know, they kind of cast him away. They tried to kill him, boil him in oil and all like that, and he just wouldn't die. Hallelujah. Because the anointing of God was on him. So they banished him to the Isle of Patmos. Left him there to die. But God still wasn't done with him yet. And this will preach, but I'm not going to preach on it tonight. But some of you preachers in here can grab a hold of it and go with it if you want to. But when you're in your seemingly worst place, abandoned, seeming like all is lost, just remember this: God's not done with you yet. Can I tell you something else? God can and will use you where you are. Whether you're isolated somewhere, glory to God. I don't know if we have anybody watching this program from prison or not, but I want to tell you this, or wherever you may be, if you trust Jesus Christ, surrender your life to Him, He'll use you right where you are. Glory to God. You may be on a seemingly sinking ship like Paul was, but if you got God with you, you're going to be all right. I say you're going to be all right. Praise God, praise God. Bobby, just a few short years ago, you were in and out of the hospital, weren't you?
Yes, sir.
Went to see you, prayed for you, but look at you now. Sharp as you want to be, sitting right beside your wife, and she just is proud. Glory to God. And you know why? It's because of the goodness of God. You could have given up and said it's all over, and we'd have been talking about you and talking about you from heaven, you know, you being in heaven. But no, God wasn't through with you yet. You down here serving Him. Amen. There's a time, though, that you'll go to heaven. That applies to all of us. But we don't want to depart before our time. We don't want to depart before. So you have to put your foot down. You had to put your foot down. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I believe this is helping somebody. I'm so glad, and we're going to John, but I'm so glad that God gave me a promise, and He gave you a promise, and He said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Oh, glory. John, the Apostle John, on what seemingly like his worst day, or one of his worst days, but Jesus showed up. Then there was Daniel in the lion's den.
Yeah.
You know, lions eat meat.
Yeah.
They're flesh-eating animals. But on that day, they couldn't eat. Because the man of God was in the den with them, and God wasn't finished with him yet. Y'all listening to me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. God wasn't finished with him yet. So he closed the lion's mouth. Glory to God. Then there was three Hebrew boys. Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego. Thrown into the fiery furnace. How many of you know fire burns? But you see, God wasn't finished with them yet. But while them boys was in that fiery furnace, a fourth person showed up. One like the Son of God. Right there in the heat with them. Oh, that'll preach. The heat was on, but Jesus was right there with them. And they didn't leave the fiery furnace smelling like smoke either. Because there was a fourth man in the furnace, Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So this man, John, has a lot to say to us under the anointing and of the Holy Ghost and the promptings of the Holy Ghost as he began to write this book of 1 John. So let's take a look at it. this chapter 1, rather. Like I said, I don't know how far I'm going to get with it, but let's listen and let's read what he has to say, beginning at verse 1. He says, listen to this, that which was from the beginning, glory be to God. Now, you have to understand something. The anointing of God was all over John here as he was writing. You know. But here's something else. John was also testifying. You listening to me? He was also testifying. He said that which was from the beginning. And listen to what he says, which we have heard, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. That's Jesus. Amen. That's Jesus. John is saying, listen, brothers and sisters, I was there. I am a witness. I heard him teach. I saw him with my own eyes. I looked on him and I touched him with my own hand. John is declaring to us that Jesus is the Word of Life. He is the Son of God. He is who he says he is. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Now, you have to understand this about John. John was one of the 12, and he was an apostle. Now, some folks say that there are no apostles today. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Okay? There are apostles today. Matter of fact, there are apostles today. There are prophets today. There are evangelists today. There are pastors today, teachers today. those offices are still in effect. They're working in the church today. But I will say this. There is nobody on earth today that can stand in the office that John stood in or Peter stood in. Why do you say that? They were apostles, right? Yes, they were apostles. But they were apostles of the Lamb. You're still with me? Well, what do you mean, apostles of the Lamb? They were personally chosen by Jesus, and they walked with him. And that's the reason John said, I saw him, I heard him teach, I was able to touch him. None of us can say that. We wasn't with him in the flesh. But John was. And he was an apostle. But he was one of the apostles of the Lamb. He was one of the disciples that Jesus chose. Hallelujah. Now, the Apostle Paul says that he was an apostle, and he was. But he referred to himself as one born out of season. But he himself saw Jesus on the Damascus Road when he got saved. And he'll tell you in his letters, he says, I'm called to be an apostle. That's who I am. Isn't it good to know who you are?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be sad if you got in your automobile, tried to start it up, and the engine wouldn't start, and you said, my goodness, why my engine won't start? And the engine said, I'm not starting because I'm a transmission. Some of y'all get that later on. It's good to know where you function. And you can flow in that, can't you? Hallelujah. So if your part of the automobile is a transmission, then you change the gears. But if you're an engine, go ahead and start up and get moving. And stop complaining because you're not a transmission. I don't know why I said all that, but that's okay. We're moving on. So let's move on. And I want to read verse 1 to you from the New Living Translation. It says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life.
Amen.
He was saying, brothers and sisters, you can take my word for it.
That's right.
I was there.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's read on. Let's look at verse 2. He said, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Let me reread that again. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Now you see where he's going with this. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may what? Have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is such a blessing. Listen to me. You know, a lot of times you may hear people say, man, I wish I could have been there when Jesus was on the earth, and I could have touched him and maybe had him lay hands on me or whatever. But the Apostle John is telling, he said, wait a minute. He said, listen, I'm there. I'm a living witness that he is the word of life. I'm a living witness. I saw him. I touched him. I heard him. I'm a living witness that he is the Son of God. And I want to tell you that my fellowship is in Christ Jesus. But listen to what he said. He said, and I'm sort of paraphrasing right here. He said, you may not have been there and touched him and heard him and seen him like I have. But what he was saying is, you can have the same fellowship with him that I have.
Amen.
You can have the same fellowship with him. Amen. Let's read 3 again. It's on the screen. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. Why? That you also may have what? Fellowship with us. I wasn't there, but I can have fellowship with him like I was there.
Amen.
Because I believe. I have faith in what he said. I have faith in what the word of God tells me. So he said, that you also may have fellowship with us. And then he goes on to say, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's our testimony as well.
Yes.
Or it should be.
Amen.
My fellowship is with the Father and with his Son,
yes,
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
And we need to know and understand that. Hallelujah. And listen to me. We need to protect that.
Yes.
Glory. All right, let's move on. And listen to what he says, verse 4. And these things we write to you. Somebody tell me why. Say it again. Hallelujah. He says, This is being written to you that your joy may be full. Everything I'm telling you is the truth. Because I'm a witness. I'm talking about John. He said, I'm a witness. I was there. And I'm sharing this with you so that your joy can be full. Joy unspeakable, full of glory.
Amen.
Listen, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. That's the reason I believe in rejoicing in the Lord. I don't believe in playing church. When we come together, I don't have time to play.
That's right.
We don't have time to play. God's done too much for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's done too much for us. That verse 4, I'm going to read it to you real quick from the New Living Translation. He says, we are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. And we can dance and skip around and shout, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Amen.
You know, if something is eating at you, begin to eat at you and try to aggravate you and frustrate you, deal with it in a hurry. Because one of the things that the enemy wants to do is steal your joy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to see you frown. He wants to see you with a hung down head. He wants to see you looking hopeless. When the Word of God tells us we're not hopeless. John says, I've been writing to you so that you can share in the same joy that we have. Jesus is still alive, and he's alive forevermore. And that's the reason, thank God for all 66 books of the Bible. I thank God for all of them. But I also thank God for the New Testament. Why do I say that? Because Jesus came. He was crucified, died, but he rose again. And he's alive to make sure every word that he spoke will come to pass in our lives.
Amen.
Amen.
See, the Word of God tells us in Hebrews to come boldly, not timidly, not shy, but come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because we are approaching our high priest, Jesus Christ, who is alive. Look at somebody and tell them Jesus is alive. Come on, say it again.
Jesus is alive.
Amen.
If you're born again, say this, and he's my high priest.
And he's my high priest.
Amen.
And any need I have in my life, I can come boldly to the throne of grace.
Yeah.
I can approach the throne of grace. I am welcome there. Why? Because I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. You need to tell yourself that sometime. I'm a child of God. Go ahead and say it. That's right. Forever. Glory be to God. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. He's alive. He's alive. And that's the reason we should be rejoicing. So he said again, this is New Living Translation. I want you to get it. We are writing these things so that you may fully share in our joy. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. Let's go on just a little while longer. Verse 5. This is the message. Now remember, John was with Jesus, right? And not only was he with him, like he said, but he was also sensitive to the Holy Spirit, even after Jesus ascended to heaven. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. Remember, I told you John's going somewhere with this. That God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Did y'all, you hear that? Let me read it to you again. This is the message we've heard from him, John says, and declare to you, and it's being declared to you and I tonight, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Now, John's getting down to some serious business now. Before I read that, we live in a time now, not in every church and not in every believer's life, but some folks, all they want from Jesus is to make sure they don't go to hell when they die. Other than that, they want to live the way they want to, do what they want to. They just want to make sure they have a good life insurance policy, so to speak. But John has something to say about that. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? Amen. We become liars and do not practice the truth. Let's read on. If we walk, now notice how this is written. Everybody say if.
Yes.
Now this is written to believers, okay? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we what? We have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let me tell you something. Fellowship is very important to God.
That's right.
Number one, our fellowship with him is very important. But our fellowship, listen to me, our fellowship with one another is very important to God. And that is one thing that the enemy tries to do. And I don't know why some Christians fall for it. Sometimes folks just get in their feelings and they just get lost in them. But sometimes people can't see what's happening. Sometimes we say, man, I wonder why God ain't moving like he used to. I wonder why, you know, this ain't happening or that ain't happening. And sometimes, you know, it's blamed on the pastor. The pastor blamed for it. And in some cases, the pastor is to blame. But not in all cases. Remember what Jesus said? He said, we are the light of the world. And we are to be set on a hill for all to see. Why is that so serious? Because I think everybody in here is, and I'm looking at, I think you're saved, right?
Amen.
Raise your hand if you're saved. If you're saved and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. But now, here's my point. Listen to me real good. Your body, my body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Wherever I go, he goes. Because I'm taking him there. Because he lives on the inside of me. And we're told not to grieve him. I should never take him anywhere that he's uncomfortable, if I can use that terminology. I want you to just ponder that, think about that for a moment. This body of mine, your body, my body, houses the Spirit of Almighty God. Because we're his. We've been bought with a price. We belong to him. You've heard me make this statement before, and I'll make it again tonight. For some people, those that don't know God, they don't go to church, they just don't know anything, very little about God, I say it that way. The only Jesus that they will see is us.
Amen.
And his Spirit on the inside of us. You, because we are his representatives, we are his what? begin with an A. Yeah. His ambassadors. Jesus says, I'm going away. But I'm going to send you another helper, the Holy Spirit. What's he coming to help us do? One of the things he's helping us do is spread the gospel and be the light that God has called us to be. Amen. So reading, I tell folks in this church, folks that are members of this church, you hear me say it all the time, it's very important. As members of this church, one of the things, and really it's not just this church, as members of the body of Christ, first of all, you want to make God look good to the world by how you live, by the things you say, by the things you do. You still here?
Amen.
You want to make God look good. God is good.
Amen.
But not everybody know that. You with me? Not everybody know that. But they can see and witness his goodness through us.
Amen.
So I tell them, you know, you make God look good. Then of course you make your church look good. Amen.
Amen.
I hope it is never said about this church, well, you know, I was thinking about going down the Word of Life, but I saw such and such at the club. I ain't going to that church. Them people ain't right. How many of you have heard people say, make that statement? My hands up first. Y'all know, come on. Y'all know you heard it. And I don't mean to the people that said it was right, you know, because sometimes folks just going to say stuff. But they judge a whole church by one person. That's not fair. You want to make God look good? You want to make your church look good? If you're in a Bible-believing church, people that love God, pastor that loves God, living right, preaching the Word of God. Now, if the pastor ain't living right, you need to find you another church.
Amen.
If he's not preaching the gospel, you need to find you another church. Where you can be fed the Word of God.
Amen.
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 And the third thing, you've heard me say this, you want to make your pastor look good.
Amen.
If you got a good pastor, represent him well outside of the church.
Amen.
That way folks that are unchurched, don't know Jesus possibly, they'll want to come and hear him preach. Because he appoint them to Jesus Christ. He'll preach to them the good news of the gospel. Glory be to God. Y'all still here? My goodness, where'd the time go, y'all? All right, where did I stop? Verse 8, was it 7? Okay. Yeah, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, we want to do our thing, you know. We just want to do our thing, and so we say, nah, I'm okay, you know. I'm okay. But if the word of God says we're not okay, we're not okay.
Amen.
I'm going to go back just a minute. Something I wanted to read to you, and I'm going to close this out here in just a few minutes. But flip over to the second chapter of 1 John here. Second chapter, ninth verse. This is the example. Now, remember what I'm going backwards because I skipped this and I want to cover it before I quit. Verse 6 says again, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And so if you go to 1 John, the second chapter, just look over at the second chapter. Look at verse 9. He who says he's in the light and does what? Hates his brother is where? Now again, this is talking to Christians. He who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Verse 10, he who loves his brother does what? Abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in what? And is in darkness and walks in darkness and does, listen, now this is strong stuff, folks. Walks in darkness and does not know where he's going. Because the darkness has what? Blinded his eyes. See, it's important that we stay in fellowship with God and that we stay in fellowship with one another. All right, now let me finish this up. Let's go back to chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 8 again. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 9. If, notice the word if. You see that word if? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. There's a translation that says it this way. If we claim that we're not guilty of sin when God uncovers it with his light, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. When the Spirit of God deal with us about something in our lives, we need to go ahead and absolutely go ahead and deal with it. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now let me tell you, John, the Apostle John, knew what he was talking about. Because he walked with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. And he lived it in his daily life. As a matter of fact, listen to this. I'm getting ready to close. I'm getting ready to close. But think about this for a moment. Jesus knew all of his disciples. Remember that time when they were all together and Jesus said, one of you is a thief? Judas, of course. Jesus knew the men that was around him. Told Peter, I prayed for you that your faith don't fail, because he said Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. He said, but I prayed for you that your faith don't fail. He knew their strengths. He knew their weaknesses. The men he had around him, he knew them. When it came to John, and in the Gospel of John, John always referred to himself as that disciple who Jesus loved. That's how he referred to himself. That disciple who Jesus loved. But hanging on that cross, I mentioned this Easter. Hanging on that cross, Jesus looked at John because he knew what was in him. He knew what kind of man he was. He looked at John. Jesus' mother Mary was there. He looked at John and said, John, behold your mother. Because Jesus knew that John was the type of man that would take good care of his mother. He was a man of God. So in John chapter 1, he knows what he's talking about when we are told not to have broken fellowship with God or with each other. It is, listen, brothers and sisters, it is so important. Let's pray for one another. Everybody's not going to do everything you want them to do. Oh my goodness. They're not. But you have a weapon that is more powerful than any weapon on earth, and that's the weapon of prayer.
Amen.
You can pray for them. That's the reason Jesus said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Did y'all get anything out of this?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. That